COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Reg. I am Gabriel Reg. The picks, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust up, everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. It's the Wicked Wednesday. Countdown to kickoff is on. We have a massive college football weekend this weekend. Some big-time games, national championship implications, the Heisman Trophy. Chase has really been shooken up. And it was just yesterday we were talking with Rich Saratella about John Mateer. How John Mateer was now the favorite to win the Heisman. And then John Mateer is announced that he's got a broken bone in his hand. And he's going to be out for like the next month or so. No one really knows. I mean, the kid's young. He's tough. He might come back sooner than people expect or whatever, dude. The guy's got like a broken hand. Like, so, you know, it could be longer than people expect. But he went from plus 750 to 33-1. Fernando Mendoza, Indiana Hoosier quarterback, now becomes the favorite to win the Heisman, but he's not going to win, but he is the current favorite. And I did bring this up on the TV show last night. Just for the record, I'll go on record now, and I'm going to get these plays in before the games. Is I'm going to take Carson Beck to win the Heisman. Now Miami are going to the playoffs. Miami are going to win a bunch of football games. Miami are damn good. And Miami Hurricane defense is awesome, but Carson Beck's going to get all the credit for it. Like, if they lose, he's going to get blamed, him and Cristobal. If they win, like, Cristobal will not get the credit. Carson Beck will get the credit. And Carson Beck's 12-1 right now. I think Carson Beck is the play. And if you're looking for sort of a longer shot, Jordan Maiva, the quarterback of the USC Trojans, he's in like the 20-1 range right now. He's got 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions on the season. He's a Lincoln Riley quarterback. Lincoln Riley, like, produces Heisman Trophy winners for breakfast. He's going to put massive numbers up. They have a tough schedule, so they have high-profile games. And I hate to say this, but, like, Michigan are going to be in tough to keep up with USC in Los Angeles in a couple of weeks. So he's going to have a chance, a very high-profile game, to potentially beat the Michigan Wolverines. And then they play Notre Dame. So if Maiva plays, like, beats Michigan and Notre Dame, I guarantee you ain't 20-1 anymore. But we'll hit that later in the week. And speaking of 20s, the NHL preseason has begun. And we've been tracking the totals. I caught on early. I was like, you know, a lot of these games are going under the number. And we were using 5.5 as the barometer. But the odds makers are dealing a lot of 6.5s even. Like, last night there was 11 games in the NHL. 6 of them had totals of 6.5. 5 of them had totals of 5.5. And I decided to, you know, coming into last night, it was 13-7 to the under in the National Hockey League preseason so far. So I decided to experiment, which often doesn't work out in the sports betting world. But I played all 11 NHL games last night to go under the number. And it was a little scary because we were 2-4. Four of the first 6 games went over last night. And when I was like, oh boy, this is going to really blow up on me here. And I was like, yeah, that was a great idea, betting 11 preseason totals at once. But all the late games went under. And it was like one after another, like low scoring, and a bunch of overtime games too last night. There were like, I think like 4 games went to overtime. So the overtime play is definitely, you know, something to keep her eye on here. But so, you know, just guys, after, you know, we've played now, we're up to 31 games in the preseason. And it's 20-11 to the under. So it's this little significant run. We're talking like a 65% clip here to the under. There's a shorter card tonight, but there's a couple of 6.5s on the board. And for the record, the 6.5s were the games that actually went over last night. But NHL preseason, there are angles to bet if you're following and you know what the, you know, what the team sort of plan is. And like last night, guys like Markstrom started for the Devils. You knew the Devils weren't playing around. You're starting goalie, and they were at home. You're playing against the Islanders, and they lit them up, right? They absolutely lit them up. So there's certain, like, sort of little situations that you can find, split squad rosters and all that type of stuff. We got Ian Cameron in the house, Cam Stewart. Babano, are you betting the NHL preseason so far?
I am not, but I am a little bit surprised there's been that many unders, because I've seen – I think it's year to year. I think it's cyclical. I don't think everything carries over one year to the next as far as preseason totals trends. But I know in the
hockey
past,
trends don't carry over. Actually, it's one sport that every year is different. Like, you know what I mean? Like, teams can be good one year, bad the next year. Like, hockey trends really don't. They don't apply like a lot of other sports do.
No. But I've seen years where preseason we come out of the gate and there's goals galore, you know, and defenses are a step behind and goaltending's not overly sharp. And then so far this year, it looks like we've seen better defense and less goal scoring, and maybe more of an emphasis on preseason from these head coaches on structure, you know, implementing team structure, deep defense, that taking a bit of a focus.
I think it's early completely on. Random.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
I think it's completely random. Like,
I think so. I don't think there's a pin down thing. What I want to talk about too is sides with preseason betting. Be careful assuming that these minus 200 favorites on teams that have these NHL laden rosters up against, you know, guys that are going to be playing in the minors in the AHL during the regular season. Be careful laying those big prices.
Look at Ottawa and Toronto, Babano. Like, the Leafs shouldn't be
last
like
night
that kind
is a perfect
favorite.
Example.
It's ridiculous.
And then Ottawa, Cam, on Sunday with the loaded lineup at home against Toronto,
great
who had
point.
A patchwork AHL lineup, and Toronto beat them.
Yep.
So be careful with those.
So how are you not betting the preseason, Babano, if you're the big hockey better? I don't understand.
He's saving his cash.
I'm a hockey better. I'm a regular season and playoff hockey better. To me, preseason, they're just personally. Now, someone might disagree. Someone might find great edges in the preseason and find great opportunities for profits in the preseason. I don't find there's great opportunities personally for me betting
the problem
NHL
is,
preseason hockey.
What you just said is true.
Yeah.
In that some people will believe and they'll look at the starting lineup and they'll see, oh, look, these guys are playing and that guy is playing. And it doesn't automatically mean they're going to win. So there could be value on the other side. But the only thing we'll say, we brought this up with McInnes the other day with the preseason, with the unders, is that star players generally do not play early in the preseason. Like, you know, you'll have a goalie, they'll, you know, maybe a couple of guys, you know, but they won't play like every game. Like the Canadians had their home opener against the Penguins, and their young guys played. Right? Like, you know, Demidov played and, you know, their young guys played, but Hudson didn't even play. Cole Caulfield didn't play. Nick Suzuki didn't play. They still won the game, right? You know, they still won the game, but, like, you know, Crosby didn't play.
Yep.
And then the next night they did play Caulfield. So, like, it's very similar to Major League Baseball preseason betting. Like, they kind of have split squads, guys, with this stuff. Right. They'll sort of be the AHL team, the junior guys, and sort of, all right, the kid lineup, and we'll go against another kid. Because it's a lot like football. You don't want to put a star play. You don't want to put your star players on the ice against a bunch of AHL guys on the other team. So, like, you almost have to know, like, with the coach. They'll almost be like a handshake agreement. Like, yeah, all right, yeah, we're going to play our guys. You're going to play your guys. It's the same thing in football. Yeah, like I heard Nick Saban talking about that. He goes, you know, when I was in the NFL, I wanted to play my starters in the preseason, and the assistants told me I can't, don't do this. And he basically said, the other team is not, and we're going to get our starters killed. And in hockey, there's always going to be some yahoo that's going to be in the East Coast Hockey League that'll see an opportunity to take, like, Austin Matthews' head off, Cam.
Yep.
Right? He'll be like, I'm going to make a name for myself. yeah, I'm going to upset a lot of people, but I'm going to, a lot of GMs secretly like this stuff. So I'm going to take a run at Mitch Marner now. I'm going to take a run at Matthews in this preseason game. You see it. I mean, hell, who's the guy? I remember it wasn't a Stone got all mad. He got injured in a preseason game. Yep. How dare you like try to fight with me and come at me? And it was like, dude, the guy's trying to make the roster.
That was last season.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, guy, this guy's an AHL guy. Yes. Mark, he doesn't care that you're Mark Stone. This guy, he's like, he's worried about like putting food on his table and paying his rent. Yep. And he sees you in his way. Right. And Stone was like, oh,
very true.
That was Bush League that had happened. That happens. So that's what I'm saying. Coaches are aware of that.
You're right, Morency. I mean, even when we played hockey, the coaches are like in these games, like they're like, fight. Say you don't want to fight, do it. I want to see what everything that you can do out there. I want you to pick a fight with this guy for no reason, toughest guy on the team. And yeah, if you're a star player and you're out there, you're free game. You said it. I'm with you. I think these guys, you want to move from the American Hockey League and get a big paycheck and not go, you know what I mean? Start changing your life, making more money. You got to do what you got to do out there. Right. So yeah, the bottom line is this, if you're a star player and you're on the ice, you're free game.
The odds makers are totally out of this, because if there was a team to fade early in the preseason, guys, it's the Florida Panthers.
Yep.
Right. But the thing with the Florida Panthers is, They were like one of the best AHL teams. I think they won, actually, didn't they? They ended up winning, or no, I think they lost in the final.
Charlotte Checkers.
They lost to the Vancouver.
That was their farm team.
Yeah, the Charlotte
lost
Checkers.
Abbotsford.
They lost to
Abbotsford won.
Canucks,
Abbotsford beat them. But they're loaded there. So it's kind of like put it this way. The Panthers like lost like 5-0 the other day. Like they got smoked. And now like it's -310 tonight for the Carolina Hurricanes. That's just insanity. And especially with the Panthers getting lit up, right? You know what I mean? Like, so it's not the real Panther team, but, man, getting +250 with the Florida Panthers,
it's crazy.
Is insane. The Columbus Blue Jackets are -280 favorites against the visiting Pittsburgh Penguins. The Seattle Kraken and the Oilers, same thing. We got a lot of big prices tonight. The Oilers are -270 favorites over the Kraken. Could be an underdog night tonight for me. And I'm going to keep on riding my underwave. We went 7-4 last night. We'll ride it again here tonight. You got the Kings. Kings just played last night, actually, too. So I'm gonna dig in deeper later on their lineup tonight, because they did play last night. And the Vancouver Canucks lost their opener to the Seattle Kraken, but they're playing the Calgary Flames tonight. The Flames played last night, and the Canucks did not. And this game actually is not it's not in Vancouver. It's actually in Abbotsford, as you just talked about Abbotsford. So the pro team now goes to Abbotsford. I like little angles like that, like when teams, they're gonna want to win tonight more so than if they were playing in Vancouver, right? It's a smaller arena. The Abbotsford people are really fired up. They're like, they're sort of like little, you got a little, no, like last year when like they went to Quebec, right? There was just sort of, there's a lot of little angles in the preseason, but you got to know where the games are being played, and you got to put the work in. This doesn't happen like, you know, you got to dig in here, but we enjoy it actually. And the fact that I've been doing well, I haven't bet that much. I bet 12. Yeah, quite a bit. I bet 12 games so far in the preseason, and we're 8-4 now. So we'll continue to ride this wave of NHL preseason hockey until it blows up on us. But the regular season is around the corner. So CFL football, we've got big-time games this week. Although, I say big-time games, the standings are kind of writing themselves right now. The real battle is kind of for, like, the crossover, the last playoff spot. Kind of have an elimination game for the Toronto Argonauts this week. They're already done, but just sort of symbolically, they're playing the BC Lions. Same thing with Edmonton. Edmonton's basically done. Hamilton basically has a division pretty much wrapped up. It would be disaster, calamity if they didn't. So really, it's just kind of like the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the BC Lions, who's going to be the crossover if you really want to take the drama out of it. But Babano, the big news of the week this week in the CFL, all the rule changes, some of which will begin next year. The goalpost stuff will happen in 2 years because they need time for that. But What did you think of the CFL rule changes as a CFL season ticket holder?
I like them. I like the majority of them. I think the op benches on the opposing sides of the field is a no-brainer. That's the one that obviously makes sense to me. I liked all of them. I think they're all going to better the game. I think the one I like the most, like I know there's obviously, and once they move the goalposts to the back of the end zone, I agree with that. I do agree with that. I thought it was always a bit Mickey Mouse that we'd see the goalposts at the front of the end zone and the quarterback would throw the ball and it would hit the upright and you'd have to see receivers move around in the end zone to avoid the goalposts.
That rarely happened. Let's be real. Yeah. They rarely. And in fact, Cody Fajardo was kidding because he did it. It happened last week, though, actually. So it does happen sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's already happened, Gabe, twice this year. But what happened last week?
The quarterbacks are good at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were also good at using that as sort of a pick play for, you know what I mean, and getting receivers to run around it, even though it was technically illegal. But if you think about it, Babano, you're right. It looked like it's one thing to say we're proud, you know, proud of the Canadian Football League, but it was dumb. It was just like, what are we doing here with the goalpost there?
Now, let me explain the one negative game with it.
It took away a lot of plays over the middle of the field.
Yeah.
So now quarterbacks run on the 10-yard line and stuff. They'll be able to throw in the middle of the field a lot more.
Yes.
Because if you notice, a lot of times in CFL, the quarterbacks are almost forced to throw these out patterns towards the sideline because of the stupid goalposts.
We will lose one of the great plays in the CFL, and that's the wide left or wide right missed field goal return. That will be eliminated with the goalposts at the back of the end zone. But people are saying that will totally eliminate missed field goal returns. Not entirely, because you could still see field goals short and no good.
They're still not going to want to, they're not going to want to give up the point still. So we're still going to have returns more so than the American game, right?
Yes.
Like you see it in college, right? You see once in a while, you know, Alabama, the Auburn game, right? The famous, you know, the kick six. You know, it happens in college sometimes, but that is a little unfortunate. But even that, you know, there's not a ton of them. The thing is, I don't have a problem either. Like with, you shouldn't get a point for kicking it through the end zone to like win the game type thing.
Yeah.
Right. So like I sort of get that as well. My deal is though, now you shorten the end zones, the sight lines for the fans, Babano, will be even worse now. Like, you know what I mean? They're not moving the seats in. Like, you know what I mean? They're not going to reconstruct the stadium in Hamilton.
No.
So like and in the CFL, you're already far away from the action as it is. Like for me, that's the biggest problem. Like when you go to a CFL game, because of the end zone being so big and because of the stadiums not being designed for CFL teams, like you'll notice your stadium is nice, Babano. Like that sideline, you guys are close to the sideline, right? The front row, that wall. I mean, it was dangerously close at Iverwood. Remember, Ken, that white cement wall they had?
Yeah. It was nuts.
Like, I was like, well, you guys have a cement wall like 2 feet from the sideline. Like, you
know what I mean? Yeah, it was wild.
But even now, there's more spacious. But like BC, Edmonton has a freaking track, guys. BC, same thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like you go to a BC Lion game, even if you've got like, you know, the fourth row or something, you're pretty far from the field.
BMO's all right, Gabe. It's not too bad.
That's a more modern, because that's an MLS stadium, right? Yeah. And it works better at BMO. Yeah. It's the bigger multi-purpose stadiums. You're right. The Winnipeg is good. Hamilton's good. Toronto. And ironically, people don't even go in Toronto. And the sight lines are great. It's a great little stadium that they have.
But you can't move the goalposts back and not shrink the field to 100 yards instead of 110. It's like a partnership. It's like a package deal.
Yeah, you know, aesthetically, too. Imagine how ridiculous it would have looked.
Yes. Yeah.
It would have been God, the field looks 150 yards long. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the goal, like, it would have been. So that's the whole thing. And to be honest, this is another thing from the league perspective that it's hard on TV to get good angles because of the field being so big, right? Like, that big gap in the middle, it's still going to be wide, but it does tighten things up a little bit. Like I'm not panicked about it. Cause kind of guys, that was the one rule. That was the one change that I sort of was like, all right, do we really need to get rid of the extra 10 yards in the middle of the field? Like that. All right. Cause now it's 100, but as Babano astutely stated, It would have been ridiculous to move the goalpost and not. Like, it just, it would have looked dumb. It would have been too big and spread out. And I like, like I said, there's so many different opinions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone's got a different one. You know, like, Davis Alexander said he thought it was ridiculous that the goalposts were in the middle, and, like, he didn't want to complain about it. But he goes, yeah, I always thought it was stupid.
Eliminating the rouge for a missed field goal or a punt that just goes through the back of the end zone is good, too. I agree with the modified rouge there. I like that the one single point is still.
I would have preferred keeping it and just said you can't win a game like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. I would have
said you can't, if it's, you can't win like by one. But to be honest with you, I actually even like that part. Like, I, you know what? I would have modified it and said, all right, the missed field goal. And if we miss a field goal and it goes through the end zone, I agree that you should not be rewarded for that. Like, that's a failure. Like,
the decision by Stewart was that we're rewarding failure if we're given a single point.
But, Bano, I think of it differently, and I love the CFL old school, and no one ever does it enough, but I love that. Man, it's a tie game. Let's try to punt it through
the end
zone.
Punt it through.
Like, you know what I mean? Or, like, and you get those, like, wild, like, laterals, Cam. Like, it never happens. It never happens. I know there was a game a couple of years ago, the missed field goal at one, and everyone got sort of like, wow, we didn't even realize that happened. You know, America, a lot of people laughed at it and stuff. But there was a game, may rest in peace, Obilovich. He was still alive. Obilovich. It was an Argo game on a Friday night. It might have been against the Bombers, but it was a wild CFL game. They were going back and forth, and it was one of those. It's tied at 40, and Obilovich busted it out, man.
Yeah.
He literally just drilled a punt through into the end zone.
Trying to get the single point to win, and then the other team tried to punt it out.
It turned into like a great classic. Yeah, it's back awesome. And forth, Babano, exactly. And people are like, oh, my God, I didn't even know these rules. Like, yeah, they kicked it back, and then Toronto kicked it back.
Turned into Aussie rules for a bit.
Yeah, it was going back and forth, and Toronto won by 1 point. And after... the other coach was mad and like, oh, that was Bush League to win a game like that. We should have went to overtime. I wouldn't have done that. It's like, what do you mean you wouldn't have done that? That's part of the rules. Like, I had no problem with that. So, like, I would have kept the sort of punt rule alive, right? And, you can win a game on a single point, but you still could, guys, on a missed field goal, right, because, like, of the return scenario. So, like you said, Abano, we're not losing all big drama. There's just not going to be some of the big returns.
Let's just hope in the future, though. The C stands for Canadian, and we already have the National Football League. There has to be things that differentiate the games, and you don't want too many things happening. Like, for all of us, that four down, that's an ender for us. Like, you know what I mean? And there's nuances to the Canadian Football League game.
Yes.
That's the whole thing. And I hate these people. Oh, I watch NFL football, whatever. Football's great. And you know what I mean? And that's what can't two things, Gable, use your line. Two things can be right. The Canadian Football League, though, don't just give in for it's a unique league. It's very different. And that's why we like it too. We get NFL on Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays. But the Canadian Football League is awesome. And I like it the way it is.
The commissioner, even though, you know, he's rubbed people the wrong way already, but I think this commissioner and the league sees and realizes that the four down stuff would really, really
lose it,
anger people for real. Like, that would be like, that's the non-starter. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, they would lose. Like, if they went to four downs, Babano, would you cancel your season tickets? That's extreme, but you'd probably think about it. Right.
Not be happy. And I might,
suddenly we go to four downs. Suddenly, like, it's like, you got to, like, so I saw somebody today, like, now that the field is shortened, St. Louis should get a team. No, they shouldn't. No, they shouldn't. Like, yeah, I get it. They don't have an NFL team. They like the St. Louis. They draw for the St. Louis Battlehawks. Like, no, we're not going down this road again. And like, put a team in freaking Quebec City. Put a team in Halifax. Figure it out. Like, we're not all the short. The field is short. Let's go with the U.S.
Sacramento Gold Miners. And in comes David Archer. Thanks.
I'm done with the 3 points. They don't have it in their blood. It's like, don't do it. Like,
enough.
It's just another, like, expansion dumb team to them. So we'll see where this commissioner goes with this. But
I want to mention before we move on, Gabe, my favorite of the rule changes, the 35-second automatic play clock. And for over bettors like me, Gabe Morency, Rob Vino, there's a bunch of us. We love our overs. I know it.
Yeah, I was thinking about the over too, but that of the shorter field. I'm like, well, it's 10 yards we got less too. Yeah.
This is going to be good for us because, and the most common mistake I've heard from just some of the CFL fans I've talked to.
More plays run now, actually, yeah. than it's automated.
Yeah, the common mistake is people just assume, well, we're going from a 20-second play clock to a 35-second play clock. You're slowing down the tempo. That's actually not going to be correct because with the 20-second play clock, after the last play, it sometimes takes 15 to 20 seconds, and I've seen it as much as 45 seconds or even a minute after the last play for them to whistle in the start of the 20-second play clock. That's important to point that out. Derek Taylor, who's the Bombers radio voice, he documented a play just last week, guys, in the Calgary-BC game. There was a snap of the ball at 8:50 left in the quarter from Vernon Adams. The next snap was not until 7:42 left in the quarter. So there was 1 minute and 8 seconds between plays last week. 8:50 was one snap of the ball left in the quarter. 7:42 was the next. The 35-second play clock will eliminate that. It's going to start automatically at the end of the previous play, and it's going to now the refs don't have to worry about blowing in the play clock to start themselves. They can do their jobs without that. This will speed up the tempo and the pace.
Yeah, I don't know why. You know, it was unreasonable. You're putting the CFL refs in a tough spot. Like no other referees, like college and or NFL, it's automated.
Yeah,
they don't have to work. They don't have to,
and they have to
one.
Count the players on the field. They have to make sure the ball is on the right yard line and do all that stuff before they whistle in the play clock.
Not to mention, the field is big, bro. So like, you've got like the refs. They got to get in position, and you got to run over. You got to get to the line of scrimmage. Like a CFL field, and it's still wider too. So like, for people bitching about the 10-yard stuff, like I said, everyone's got a different opinion. Bo Levi Mitchell, he's pushing for four downs, right? He's been pushing for four downs for years. So he loves this, the modernization, he called it. So we know he's one of those, like, yeah, he wants to change the game. Nick Arbuckle's a company guy. He said, hey, I love the CFL rules, and I support whatever the league does, and I'm just happy to be in the CFL. So he was Nick Arbuckle's company guy. Nate Rourke freaking lost it, right? Nate Rourke is like over the top livid about the rule changes. The quarterback for the BC Lions. Mike O'Shea, the head coach of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, said he wanted to throw up when he saw the rule changes. And that he's like, O'Shea's pissed that basically he's been in the league for like 40 years as a player and coach, and no one asked him a question. Not consulted at all, right? So he's like, he goes, I just found out like everyone else. Like, so he's like, he couldn't believe that he found out like everyone else. Like, you know what I mean? And, that's what, like, really? Like, that's why I'm like, I kind of look at this new commissioner with a crooked eye now. I'm like, dude, you didn't even tell the head coaches.
I like the changes, but you got to let some of the top players and coaches and GMs in the league know what's about to happen.
How does Mike O'Shea find out like everyone else?
Exactly. Like, this guy's a legend. Like, exactly.
Guy's a head coach. And guy's like one. Yeah, he is the CEO. Like, guy's a player and a coach in the league.
Yeah.
And a guy that's turned down NCAA coaching offers to stay in the CFL. Right?
Exactly.
So, not as a head coach, but as an assistant. You know what
the
I mean?
Lines of communication could have been a lot better from the commissioners, and I totally agree.
It's actually embarrassing.
Then it just pissed them off more because they said, oh, we consulted some people. So then it just upset the people that weren't consulted more. Like, put it this way, guys. Nate Rourke is the highest paid player in the league. You figure that the highest paid player in the league would have been like, told.
Or at least let them, even if he couldn't change the decision, Nathan Rourke, at least let Nathan Rourke know, hey, Nathan, this is what's going to happen. We're going to announce this on Tuesday, that these rule changes. And well, not even a heads up with that.
Yeah, no, exactly. Major announcement coming. I didn't like how they did that either and like made everybody like wonder and stuff. They mishandled it. We're going to have Nick Lewis on, CFL all-time leading wide receiver, on the program tomorrow. And he's got a lot of thoughts. He's been banging on Twitter about it. He loves the league. He's been a coach in the league, player in the league, et cetera. So, and he's also from Texas too, right? So he's got like a outsider perspective, but an insider as the leading receiver. He's seen all the different rule changes. He was in the league when all the crazy stuff has happened. So I look forward to Nick's take on all this. The sky won't fall. you know, let's just be real. These changes, they're kind of minor. They're, you know, I think it will tighten things up a little bit. It should look better on television, but get better play-by-play guys. You better get a better TV deal if you're doing all this. Like, I'm sick of TSN running this league, right? That's my deal with this. Like, you can do this and you can do that, but, you know, the hokey Kate Bernas pregame shows, subpar play-by-play. God bless Rod Smith. The guy can't see. Like, the guy's blind. Like, he can't tell, like, if it's a fumble, what number it is. The Marshall guy, the play, he's not a good play-by-play guy. I know he was a good quarterback. He'd be better as an analyst. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. You know, like, some of those, it's just boring, man. Like, you know what I mean?
Thank God for Dustin Nielsen is what I say.
Yeah, he's the only one that brings that life to this, you know?
And he's funny, too. He's actually a very engaging, entertaining
Wayne
listen.
Ford has gotten a little more. He's gotten better for it, in a sense. Like, I like Dwayne, really nice guy, but he's, you know, he used to always be very straight-laced, by the book.
Yeah.
I've noticed, like, he jokes more. Like, he's got
especially
more
when he's with Dustin,
like,
I've noticed that, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I like Dwayne. Yeah. Like, I was going to say, like, Dwayne's gotten, like, he sort of gets, like, Dwayne's adapted and gets it. Like, I can't just be dead serious all the time. People want to hear jokes. Like, the kids, like, we got to modernize this. Like, got to lighten up a little bit. And he has. Like, you know, just for the record, like, this is the same Dwayne Ford to complain once to the Alouettes that the fans were smoking too much weed and the weed was going up into the play-by-play booth. Like, so, you know, stuff like that. Like, I heard Rod Black thought it was funny, but Rod likes to party. No, but I like Dwayne. So, like, I think he's doing a good job. But I'm just saying the problem is, too, with the CFL, you can do all these rule changes. It's like baseball. You can change this and you can change that. Like, do you really think that some 16-year-old kid right now that's a Green Bay Packer fan that's living in, like, Calgary or something is suddenly going to, oh, you moved the goalpost. Oh, now I'm into the CFL. They don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they, you change this. Like, they won't care. Like, it doesn't do anything. So they need to understand that. And then they just sort of upset fans that they have. But what I do agree with, and like you said, Babano, the pace, the automated clock, more plays, tighten the field up a little bit, just sort of, you know what I mean? It'll look better on TV. The goalpost in the middle of the field aesthetically looks stupid. It also hurt play calls in the middle of the field. Like, there, you know, let's not hate everything for the sake of hating everything. Yeah. You know, that's just my deal. Let's give it a chance. And as I stated earlier in the week, we put an F in CFL team in Shreveport, Louisiana, guys, and we survived. All right. We've done stupider things and moved the goalposts.
Yes.
If we really don't like it, we'll move the damn goalpost back with a new commissioner when this guy's gone in a couple of years. Right? And we'll say, all right, remember those times we moved the goalposts? Yeah, we're putting them back, right? Like, whatever. I'll roll with it. But I'd like to see the TV production get better. And I don't say this is a critic. I'm not ripping TSN. They do a good job. They put all, you know, you're into it. But the problem is, TSN's not even the biggest sports network in Canada anymore. Sportsnet is. Because Sportsnet has the NHL rights and they have the Toronto Blue Jays. So all TSN has is the CFL. And TSN protects the CFL because it's their baby. Yeah. So it's like CFL teams do a horrible job getting, like, interviews on other networks. They just don't care. Everything's run through TSN. Like, you do your interview with Matthew Schenetti or, you know, whatever.
You wouldn't know the CFL exists in this country if you watch Sportsnet.
Boom, exactly. But yeah. Like, in Sportsnet, like, imagine if, like, during the Jays game, tune in to the Toronto Argonauts and the Hamilton Tiger Cats on Friday on Sportsnet. Like, dude, suddenly you'd have millions of people, like, you know what I mean? And it's not ripping TSN. They should. It's like, guys,
CFL gets a 1 minute highlight clip midway through their Sportsnet connection.
TSN promotes the NFL more with their commercials. NFL Thursday, Monday, NFL, right? Like, we know when the NFL is on. You don't need to tell us. Tell us about promote the CFL. But, like, I'm not saying, oh, TSN shouldn't have the games. But let's get to the picks. But I just want to say, like, you look at the NFL and the NBA. The NFL could easily tell Fox or tell ESPN, listen, we're thinking about selling the games to just one network. You're going to have to give us like $8 billion, but you'll have every game. You'll have exclusive rights to our league. The networks would jump backwards to do it. right? Fox would give them what, a blank check. What do you want, Mr. Goodell? Like, they would give him a blank check. We would own the exclusive rights to the NFL, and the NFL would get it. Like, seriously, they could name their price. The NFL is on what, like 7 different networks now? 8, 9? Every year, the NFL adds more. Why do they do that? Right? It's like, well, they're the NFL. Like, the CFL has one network. You know why the NFL does it? Because they know. If we're on ABC, they'll talk about us on ABC on the morning show. If we're on NBC as well, they're going to talk about us on NBC, and they're going to promote us on NBC. If we're on CBS, they're going to promote us on CBS. We're going to get promotion on Fox, CBS, NBC, Netflix, Amazon, and Apple. You're going to get promoted everywhere. And, oh, yeah, by the way, now that we're partners with all these networks, they're not going to criticize as much because we're partners with them now. And now we kind of control the narrative. And they'll all say, oh, no, you don't. Like, no one tells us what to do at our news desk. But, yeah, of course they do. We all know how it works. So then you have every league, every network in your back pocket. Why the hell do you think the NFL just bought the ESPN and the Red Zone and stuff? Like, so they can control it, yeah. Right? That's the whole thing. You can control it. So the CFL, like you said, Babano, like the sports set doesn't even talk about it. They ignore it. And that's pretty garbage of them, too, just because they don't have the rights.
I agree.
Not being a real sports network, Cam.
No, it is the real sport. It's Canadian football.
They show the highlights, Cam, in like a 1 minute.
Oh, I know.
Like at the end of the
season. If you're lucky.
They're like, oh, the end of the CFL this week, the Argonauts won, and they'll show like sort of.
And I can tell you, highlight, like, you some of the rankers and stuff are out west, and you know McAuliffe, right? He loves like high school football, whatever football.
He's
a big CFL guy. Yeah, he's a big supporter. Yeah. When he's, oh, I got a 40-second read.
He's got to toe the company line, though.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still BS. I'm with you guys.
Yeah, but
don't
you
be
see
petty.
What I'm saying. Like, imagine Babano if the CFL, like, they was like, yeah, there's 2 games on TSN. That's what I would do if I was a CFL. I'd say, listen, we're going to show you loyalty, TSN. You guys have been with us. We're going to let you keep 2 games a week, and we're going to even give you the damn choice. You can pick your 2 games in a week, and one game goes to Rogers Sportsnet, and the other one goes to City TV, Babano. That's what I would do.
I like this.
And
I
would
like
be
this.
Like, City
game,
TV has a game in a week. Yeah, like, thank you. Yeah, and I would even market it. Yes. Not even be like, yeah, City TV, the Saturday night game of the week on City TV.
Yep.
The Friday night game of the week on
TSN. And they have City TV in
every
province.
You've got your 2 games you choose. Exactly.
All the affiliates. It's there
and
already.
And suddenly you're on breakfast TV in the morning, Cam. And you're
I love this idea. Well, Stu Johnson
should be the commissioner. I give him better ideas all the time. For years I have.
Stuart Johnson, you are now fired as commissioner of the.
You got to get off this CBS Sports Network deal, too. Like, nobody even gets that network.
Get better. Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. So, as far as the games are concerned, tricky.
The CFL survived the Memphis Mad Dogs. They'll survive any decisions that are made.
Sacramento Gold. No, and the Baltimore CFLers. Can't forget that.
Yep.
That was the worst.
Yeah, but they became the Stallions, too.
Yeah,
they
CFLers, though. It's just, that was
you know, the Baltimore Stallions became the Montreal Alouettes, though.
Yeah.
Like, Mike Pringle was in Baltimore.
Yeah, Tracy Hamm, Mike Pringle.
I always tell people back in that era, the great Gus Johnson called CFL for multiple years during that time.
I did not know that. Where? Yes. In Baltimore?
There's a clip of him joining the CBC broadcast with Don Whitman and Danny Kepley back in the day on a halftime show. It was like a CBC ESPN simulcast.
That's awesome.
What, a young Gus Johnson?
Yes, a young Gus Johnson was doing the game, and he was talking with Don Whitman, Danny Kepley, Scott Oak at halftime. It was great.
Wild.
I didn't know that. I got to check.
I'll send that to you. I will.
Yeah, I want to see it too,
but what I do know is same with Chris Cuthbert. Chris Cuthbert, great play-by-play guy. Great, well, one of the best hockey play-by-play guys too. But Chris Cuthbert, his first ever game, his first broadcast, his first job was in the CFL, was for the Montreal Concorde. The Montreal Alouettes, the Alouettes have always had an interesting history. Like, they're popular, but it's Quebec. So there's always going to be weird ownership stuff and stadium, whatever. So, like, the Montreal Alouettes were, you know, a great team in the 70s, along with the Edmonton Eskimos. But in the late 80s, they basically went bankrupt. Like, they pulled a fast one. They didn't want to pay their creditors and their bills, so they changed the name. Like, they basically shut it down, and they became the Montreal Concorde. And their quarterback was Vince Ferragamo. played a Super Bowl. Pittsburgh, LA Rams, Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, Vince Ferragamo played in the Super Bowl. Played for the Buffalo Bills too, briefly, actually, Vince Ferragamo, which I actually forgot because I was talking about Joe Ferguson the other day, and I was like, man, Vince Ferragamo was like right after that era. And yeah, and he was on the Montreal Concord. But one of my mentors, my buddy, may he rest in peace, Ted Teven was like the radio. He was kind of like me. He was like an analyst, but he was a talk show host, but he was so popular in Montreal, they just put him on the games type thing. And his play-by-play guy was Chris Cuthbert. So yeah, Chris Cuthbert did his first CFL game with Ted Teven. It was the Montreal Concord. And Chris Cuthbert told me that story himself. Great story. So if anyone ever interviews Chris Cuthbert, bring up his first ever broadcast. Yeah, that's why Chris has a big love for the CFL, right? Because yeah. That's where he came from. Like he still talks
about missing calling the game since he went to Sportsnet for Hockey Night in
Canada. That's what I'm saying. Like if they had a game in the week on Sportsnet. So yeah, my whole point is like
you've got a ready-made play-by-play guy to do the games for Sportsnet.
Like, even the NFL, put McAuliffe on the sidelines, whatever. You got your staff exactly. Like
he can be your second play-by-play guy, Tim McAuliffe. If they had a second game.
But you've got all these big networks that aren't promoting the league. So that would be my deal. If I was the commissioner, I'd be like, dude, fine, move the damn goalposts, but get us on Sportsnet, get us on City TV, get us back on CBC a game of the week. Like
get us on the Rogers properties. I agree. We got a simulcast.
Like, exactly. Like we can't just be on one network and we got to get a better US TV deal than the CBS Sports network. That was pretty
good. That
doesn't
show any games, by the way, the rest of the regular season.
That's the problem with Bano. Yeah. Like, it's like what's the total deal? Like using you. It's like as soon as September comes, they'd rather show a Charlotte 49er game.
Yes.
And they bounce, like you get bounced for Army versus Tarleton State, right? And and the CFL agrees to it. It's like, no. And another thing is too, like you and I even talked about Bano at the time. When they signed with CBS, remember, we were like, all right, wow. And like, if you're the commissioner at the time, you got to say, listen, I understand that we're not going to be on CBS every week. But if we're signing with you, we want the Grey Cup on CBS Sports TV.
Yeah.
It's a stupid
Grey Cup's not even on CBS Sports Network this year.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know what I mean? No, you got it. Like, remember, guys, like ESPN.
ESPN2 would have the Grey Cup when they were partnered.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, they would have it on ESPN Plus most of the year. Yeah. They'd throw it on ESPN2 sometimes, but at least it was tradition. I remember Chris Berman would talk about it. They'd promote it. Hey, guys, the Grey Cup, guys. And like, they even on like Sunday Night Football, they'd check in. Oh, yeah, what's going on in Canada with the Grey Cup on ESPN2? Like, they got to get back on ESPN. Like, that's another thing, too. Like, just point blank, this commissioner, you got to get back on ESPN and figure this thing out. But, all right, as far as the picks are concerned, let's go rapid fire. Like I said, they're not really massive games. The standings are kind of done. But Davis Alexander looks to be coming back here. They're 4-point favorites against the Stampeders. The total's 50.5 of Bano. Argonauts are 10-point underdogs at BC, 57.5. BC, it is a must-win game. BC and Winnipeg are the two ones that I would say that have the most like at stake this weekend, but Bano.
I would agree with that. As far as Calgary, Montreal, who's going to be quarterback for Calgary? Because Vernon Adams is limited in practice. He left the game due to injury. PJ Walker's out indefinitely. He's not practicing. We're looking at Josh Love, who was just signed. This is a guy that played spring football the last few years. He's been signed by Calgary, and they brought back Logan Bonner, who was cut from the Calgary Stampeders, and he was really bad when he got in to starting as a quarterback in this league for Calgary last year. So they could
That's
be
why
down.
They brought Holland.
That.
Yeah. Right, but they know Bonner's good on short yardage, so he's lucky he doesn't get cut. But like they don't want him throwing the ball. Yeah. Hulk, Hall's all right, but anytime you get that first start, Love. And I was speaking of Hall because the BC Lions signed the kid, what's his name? Jaron Hall. Played he was on the Vikings, actually. He was on the Vikings, BYU quarterback.
Yep.
BC are usually pretty good at like grabbing these quarterbacks. That are out there. In the past, they sort of hit or miss. But so what are your best bets? And then we'll get to the Seattle-Arizona game tomorrow. Big game for the Seahawks and the Cardinals tomorrow. So what are your picks in the CFL?
So I already took Montreal with Davis Alexander, who's undefeated as a starter. It looks like he's going to be back. I think Montreal -3.5. Calgary's starting to get injuries, and we don't know who's going to be quarterback, and they're not playing nearly as well. They've lost back-to-back games. So I like Montreal there -3.5. I like BC team total over 33.5 again. Why not? 9 straight overs and team totals for BC. 9 straight BC team total overs have cashed. They just keep going over their team total. I think they will.
Mouth it off this week, too. Rourke better play well.
And now Rourke's angry. It's an angry Nathan Rourke taking the field.
You call the league out, you better back it up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like BC. That probably goes over the full game, 256.5, especially if Arbuckle plays. It sounds like Arbuckle might be able to play this week for Toronto. He's back at practice yesterday. So I like the over, and I like BC's team total over 33.5. Hamilton-Winnipeg, with Kolaros coming back, I got to admit, I think Winnipeg's pretty cheap at home. And I know Ticats beat him a couple weeks ago in Hamilton, but Strebler was terrible in that game. They never win in Winnipeg, Hamilton. They've struggled there for years. So I think the Bombers is the short home favorite I like. And then Saskatchewan, I think, is in a good spot. I've been riding Edmonton a lot, you guys, but they're off a bye. They laid at that egg against Montreal before the bye week. Saskatchewan's only laying 3.5. I know Edmonton's been a covering machine, but you're 3.5 points. I don't know if it's enough. And Saskatchewan's won and covered 5 straight in Edmonton. They've played very well at Commonwealth Stadium. They're angry. They're off a bye. I think the Riders get it done against the Elks.
I agree. I think it's the end of the line for the Edmonton Elks.
2 heartbreaking losses, too, Gabe. Walk-off field goal losses, back-to-back games against Toronto and Hamilton. That's tough. I worry about
this. I know. I know they don't want moral victories in Edmonton. It's true. You know what I mean? Like, they're a proud franchise and all that type stuff, but they really are going in the right direction finally. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we can say, and I'll admit, I thought the coaching hire was whack when they did it. I'm like, they're hiring that crazy special teams coach from Calgary that got fired. Like, why would you make him the head coach? He said, no, like, he's going to be in way over his head. No, like, and they lose a lot of heartbreakers. You know, they're still, they got to tweak things, but I do agree. You almost have to feel for them. But I don't. So Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals, big game, Cam. The winner of this game is going to be 3-1, right? And nobody really believes in either team, right? You know, people don't think Arizona are any good. People don't like believe in Seattle. Teams from the Pacific Northwest don't get attention, and they have to be like, they have to win a ton before people will recognize them. But big time game when you consider the 49ers injuries problems moving forward. The Los Angeles Rams are good, but this division is wide open. So 3-1 after 4 games is damn good, no matter who you are and what division you're in. Big time game. What's your pick, Kim?
I love the Seahawks, and I love where this team's going with McDonald, the direction, despite the defensive injuries. Kenneth Walker starting to play a little bit better. He's got 3 touchdowns his last 2 games. Have you guys seen Smith and Jigba? Take a look at the targets, like 12, 9 catches. Like, this guy's an animal every single week. He's been great. Seattle historically owns the Arizona Cardinals too, and I don't even mind if they're on the road for this game. Given the Seattle Seahawks, I will say this. I'm not sure if this game hits 44 points. I see a little bit of defense with the Seahawks winning.
The Seahawks have owned Arizona. Cam is right. That division, like a lot of divisions, but the NFC West really has like a big case of musical chairs.
Yep.
One team crushes another team, but they can't beat team X. And it just sort of goes in a circle. Seattle can't beat San Francisco. Just point blank. The Niners are their daddy. We've got to admit it now. You saw the first game of the year, they could have beat them, and then Darnold fumbled the football, right? They cannot beat San Francisco. Arizona can't beat the Rams, right? There's all these little sort of intricacies, but Seattle have historically owned Arizona. And Arizona, for whatever reason, similar to Seattle, though, Babano, Arizona are like a better road team than they are home team. Like, Kyler Murray is literally the best ATS quarterback since 1970 on the road. He's the, like, by far. Like, he's 27-12 against the spread in his career on the road, which is insane. Like, think about that, guys. 27-12. Like, 39 road games for him that he started, and he's covered in 27 of them. The problem is when they go home and they're either a favorite or and they're in these sort of pick 'em style of games, they always lose, Babano. But I'm scared that it's almost too, that the script like gets flipped here. That yeah, Seattle always own them. Arizona always lose at home. They're better on the road. But this is a tricky game here. I was leaning Seattle all week, and now I'm sort of getting cold feet. I can't lie. What's your pick, Babeno?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I mean, I lean Seattle is probably going to be a small bet. It's not best bet material, but for me, it's hard to ignore 7 straight wins in the series, 4 straight wins and covers in Arizona for Seattle. They've really owned this series. Their defense is really good. I like what I've seen from Mike McDonald's defense early in the season. They've gotten better with each week. The win against Pittsburgh, the blowout win against New Orleans, and Arizona's got real problems. Their offensive line's not played great. I mean, James Conner injured. They've not gotten their receivers open. Kyler Murray's taken a lot of punishment. And they haven't faced a murderer's row schedule either. I mean, that's the scary part. Like
the thing is, Seattle's front four gets pressure now, yes. Gabe. Like they've done well. Like they have some real like eaters up there. They get in there. They work. Their motors are always running. Like you saw they did the Rodgers. Like
they have Arizona schedule too, guys. I mean, their offense has struggled with New Orleans, Carolina, and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And you flip it around to the defense. They face Spencer Rattler, Bryce Young, and Mac Jones. You know, in these first three games. So I don't love that strength of schedule or lack of it.
Well, Seattle just beat the New Orleans Saints last week.
Saints, too. That's
yes.
true.
Like, they're the worst team in the NFL.
But they did face San Fran with Brock Purdy. They faced Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh. So I still think you've got to give Seattle a little bit of an edge as far as who they play.
I don't think Pittsburgh are very good, though.
I do.
Yeah, I agree with Gabe.
So I don't think Pittsburgh are that good. Pittsburgh, well, whatever. Tomlin will get his winning record.
Yeah.
But they're not that. You know, they'll win the game, lose a game type of thing. This is a big test.
Yeah.
I think Seattle are further along in their development than Arizona. The thing is, you can for me, it's a good game to tease because I think it is going to be a close game. But the Babeno mentioned Arizona have a lot of injuries. Seattle are just more physical as well. So, you know what I mean? Like, you could just sort of, you know what you're going to get from Seattle here, at least. You know you're going to get good defense. Darnold is getting more acclimated on a weekly basis here and getting connected with JSN. My whole thing is I just think Arizona are good. And, you know, I think they're kind of evenly matched. I think Seattle are a little better than they are. But at some point, like, can Arizona win one of these games at home? Yeah. I mean, it says it all that they're underdogs, right? That the market doesn't believe in them, yeah. right? That it's like, yeah, you guys are sort of show signs, but – nah, we can't, you know, we're going to make Seattle a home favorite against you, right? Can they win a big home game? But I still lean Seattle. I'll end up teasing Seattle because I think if Arizona win, they won't blow. They're not going to blow them out. All right, so Ryder Cup. The Ryder mm-hmm. Cup is here. Weather could be a factor at Bethpage. I brought it up earlier in the week about Paul Azinger saying that he thinks Europe are going to crush in this tournament because of the golf course. That Bethpage Black is a super hard golf course to play, that the American players really haven't played there that often. And when they haven't played well there. And it's interesting because the U.S. Golf Association and the captain, they can pick what golf course it is. And Azinger brought up a good point, and he goes, they pick these courses that are nice, but they're not picking courses that are an advantage for the U.S. players. And he's, you know, he was talking about how the Europeans are just going to crush the ball here. And Europeans adapt better to golf courses. They don't really care about the golf courses, Euros. Americans seem to complain about everything, the American golfers, right? I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't want to wear the hat. I don't like the golf course. I don't like the weather. The Euros just kind of grip it and rip it. I'm taking Europe, Cam. I'm just, it's not, you know, we're not getting a huge price on them, but the Americans have Scottie Scheffler. Okay, he's one guy. They don't have that many guys that are even playing that well, Cam. And I think the Euros just really enjoy beating the Americans. And I'll throw it to you on this, the last one, and I went over this. The Americans can't win in Europe, Cam, but the Euros can win in the USA, as we've seen. They play in the U.S. all the time. They're not fazed like by this, and they're thicker skinned. Like, they don't panic as much, and the Americans are under way more pressure. I think Europe are going to roll them, to be honest.
Also, Bethpage Black is a beast. Who's the biggest hitter on tour? Rory, right? You know what I mean? He can get around, and you can match him with so many different guys.
He's good in international play.
This is another thing.
He gets fired up for this.
Yeah, no, he's fired up right now. He's angry. I like the way the Europeans are approaching this thing. I just saw a documentary on Luke Donald. He looks ready to rock. Europe's plus 180, and I think it's vital. Also a bet, guys. Day one winner, Europe, plus 140. I think they got to get out to a hot start when in the four balls, and I think that's what they'll do really, really well. So I think that's a great price for them. And I guess for the USA, taking Scottie Scheffler plus 280 to get most points is a great bet because he's 280 to win a damn tournament with 150-plus guys. So why not take him at that price? But I'm on Europe all the way, Gabe. I'll have more picks later. Remember, they announced the pairings Thursday, and they play Friday. They moved up the opening ceremony due to weather.
Top combined point score. Scottie Scheffler, plus 500. Rory McIlroy, plus 900. John Rahm, 10-1. Bryson, 11-1.
Scheffler, top USA points, Gabe, plus 280. It's almost 3-1. That's a good price. You don't even have to worry about Rory or anybody else.
Yeah, well, you know, what American would be the best? Who's going to beat him? Maybe Xander.
Maybe.
Xander does play well in these events generally. I don't know what to expect from Bryson. I mean, Bryson could blow up. Bryson probably, you know, listen, Bryson, I don't know what that DeChambly guy, DeChambly on the Golf Network.
Oh, Brandel Chambly?
Yeah. He really hates DeChambly.
Yes, he does.
Like, it's
he
to the point does. Where it's like, bro, we get it. You don't like him. Like,
yeah. That's the best. I'd love to see those guys throw down.
He had like an hour rant on him yesterday or two earlier in the week, just going off about how he's selfish and he shouldn't be on the team and like he's going to blow up on him and like no one wants to be around him. And
yeah.
But
tell us how you really feel. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is about it, he goes on a DeChambeau like rant like every month.
Yeah.
It's to the point. It's like, dude, we get it. Like, you don't like him. We know this. We get it. I don't really care for Bryson either, but you know, we don't have to rip him every day. Mm-hmm. He is who he is. We get it. But yeah, Bryson is 11-1. What's your pick, Babano, for the Ryder Cup?
I like what Cam already mentioned. In fact, this is actually something my golf guy recommended. Scottie Scheffler, Team USA points leader. He likes the value. He likes the fact that he won 2 weeks ago in that Pro Core title. Sign that he's trying to sharpen up his game.
I can't believe he's getting 3-1, Babano.
Yeah.
Like, he should be plus 150. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in this tournament? Like,
absolutely.
And Scheffler has all this, Gabe, you know, like, long course. He's sneaky long. He's a good putter. Like, he checks all the boxes. I just think that's a value play for sure.
No, he's I can't disagree. I'm going to I'll jump on as well. I'm looking here right now. Bet365, yes, Scottie Scheffler is plus 280. For Team Europe, John Rahm is plus 425.
I took Fleetwood at plus 550 for Team Europe.
Rory plus 400. Fleetwood plus 550. Ludvig Åberg 750. Victor Hovland plus 850. They're going to murder the U.S. Victor Hovland, match fit. Listen to the players.
I got Hovland top Scandinavian, too. All he's got to do is beat Åberg, and Højgaard is the rookie on the team. He might only get one match. That's the whole thing. So it's like a head-to-head bet, and you're getting Hovland at plus 130.
What's better for alternate? Him? I want to take the Europe. So how do I take Europe to win by more? So here we go.
Yeah, they have alternate spread.
Yeah, I know, but all right. Europe minus 1.5 plus 150. Alternative handicap betting, but why would it be more than 1.5?
Yeah, plus I know, because they're plus 180 getting, to win.
I'm already getting plus 175 or plus 180 to win. I don't understand that bet.
Yeah.
We must be reading it wrong, but that's what it's called, alternate. Because I'm just saying, if I think Europe is going to win, but I think Europe is going to win convincingly, I want to see if I can get better odds here, Cam, but like, what do I bet then? Do I lay strokes? I can't lay strokes because it's like a point.
No, it's not
thing.
Strokes. Like, no, points, it's all so. Points. It's 28 points.
All right, here we go. Handicap betting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The hell is this? No, it's the same crap.
we'll go over.
Europe plus 0.5. See, I want something like.
You want Europe
see, like,
minus 2.5, like for them to like.
No, I want minus 4.5 something. I see Europe in a rout.
Gabe, put the brakes on. They got to win by 5 points. It's 28
Europe in a rout.
14. By the way, people.
You heard it here first.
14
Europe
and a half.
In a rout.
Europe in a rout. 14.5 points. Wins the Ryder Cup. And if it's tied at 14. The last team to win retains cup, which is Europe.
Yeah, you got to be careful too, guys. There's the plus 185 or plus 175 / plus 180, but a tie loses with that. So if you want to go with the lift the trophy, that's what I was looking at plus 125 to lift trophy plus 125, because the plus 175, plus 180 bet, if it is tied, you lose your bet.
Yep.
So it's like three-way and two-way. So that should be noted. Ian Cameron, I was going to say check out the ice guys, but Babano's not even betting on hockey right now. So what's the point of that?
We have team season preview videos going. Well, and we will be ready October 7th, full bore.
All right. See, it's a bet. I'd say he's not even betting.
This guy's not even betting hockey. Promoting a hockey show yet. For
him. No, he'll all have right. lots of picks.
All right, so tune in tomorrow. We got all-time great CFL leading wide receiver Nick Lewis in the house with us. So we'll get Nick's thoughts on the CFL rule changes. And you know what? I'll get Nick's thoughts on some NFL and college football stuff, as well as Nick's on top of everything. In fact, Nick has like a football academy in Texas where he helps train players for the National Football League draft. And, man, he was working with Cam Ward before. Like, so, like I said, like Nick's got great football scores from like Incarnate Word and stuff. So, Nick Lewis tomorrow. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.